I think Warren's got it set up, so at least you can, a very familiar song, but this is another in the Music and Truth series, but I think it's got a YouTube video, but hopefully the Viagra commercial's not in this. How many of you have heard that before? It's better when Georgia plays it. But that's Puck Bell's. It's called Puck Bell's Canon in D. Probably written in the late 1600s. Written by Johann Puck Bell. He was a German Baroque. Remember about Baroque music, right? Don't fix it if it's not Baroque. composer, and his works went out of style until the canon was rediscovered, if you will, in the 1980s. And it's become very popular at weddings and funerals. Did any of you use that at your wedding? It's probably good George is not here, because we had that at our wedding. That'd get me crying. Dust. So, I just, you know, this is going to be one of those sermons where you're going to have to, could you turn me up just a little too on my voices? And then you're going to have to, not that loud. Wake up! And then could you advance those slides? Doesn't really matter, but. So the word canon comes from the Greek kanon, which is, it refers to a measuring rod or a reed. In fact, it has roots in the word for a reed, or a cane rather. And so it's a canon, not a cannon with two ends, Rich. Rich fired cannons with two ends. Those are big caliber guns, but this is one end. And in music, like Paco Bell's back in the Baroque period, even today, songs like Row, 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 Row Your Boat, Frère Jacques, sort of, we think of them as rounds, but that's the idea. But it's a piece in which we hear the initial melody, and then it's imitated by one or more other parts. And Paco Bell's canon, so maybe this was more original in the sense that he wrote it for three violins and a cello, and so they would sort of imitate and bounce off each other, and that the eight bars of music were repeated 28 times. So that's why, you know, just sort of hear it. It's beautiful the way it goes back and forth. Now in the church back in the Middle Ages and even today picked up on the word, and a canon is a regulation or a dogma decreed by a church council. So if any of you have Catholic backgrounds, the solemn and unvarying components of the Mass, which is the high point of a Catholic service, and the consecration of the bread and wine, that's part of the canon, something that is stable. We measure our theology by it. It's not something you mess with. It also, we use it as Protestants, the canon is the authoritative list of books accepted as scripture. So once again, a measuring line, these are the books of the Bible, you know, not like Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, you know, where we try to add other works to it. And then also in the more liturgical, like Catholic, it's a clergyman on the staff of a cathedral, so he would be called a canon. So it has roots tied to the church, but that where do they ultimately come from? The vault of the Bible. And so the word, the definition, measuring line, a rule, a standard. In Amos chapter 7, the familiar passage where this comes about, Amos 7:7. Amos is saying, thus he showed me, God, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line. That's the idea, a plumb line. With a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate. And Isaac meaning the northern tribes, the high places of pagan worship will be desolate. And the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, the prescribed places of worship. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. So it's a vision that Amos had, one of many visions. And God is holding a plumb line. He is measuring Jeff would use something like that to measure the straightness of a wall. God is, Israel is the wall, and God is measuring how straight it is. And that, and during during the time of the prophets, all the prophets had to get after Israel, if you remember our series in Hosea, because they were not straight, they were crooked. And God says, I'm measuring you, and I will no longer pass over you like the Passover. God's grace, he says, judgment is coming. I will no longer pass over you, I will pass through you. You will be judged for your false areas of worship, and even in the sanctuary, the tabernacle and temple. You are not worshiping me properly. That's a good message for all of us. And then he does talk about, I will raise the sword against the house of Jeroboam, which he was the king, the first king of the northern tribes. And he set up the false areas of worship to keep people from going back down south to Judah, to Jerusalem. He wanted to keep people in his church. So God is testing the moral character and the covenant faithfulness of his people. So Amos for Israel today, how do you measure up on the standards, if you will, for what God says for his people? In Galatians chapter 6, now the New Testament, Paul says in verses 15 and 16, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. So it's not who you are, it's not what you do, but a new creation. You have to be made right, regenerated by the work of the Holy Spirit and God's word. And as many as walk according to this canon, this rule, which is the new creation, as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy upon them and upon the house of God, the Israel of God. So the gospel, new creation, that's the standard. How do you measure up? Have you trusted the gospel, the good news about God's grace? Because when we hold a plumb line to us as humans, we don't measure up. But because of God's grace, we do measure up, because that is the standard, the canon of how God saves by grace through faith. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. One other passage we're going to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm sort of using a word. This word is only used in the New Testament, kanon, Greek canon, about four times. So here's where else it is used by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. For we dare not class our, and for one thing, Paul is defending his right. Remember, we went through Corinthians and the trouble he had with that church. And he was getting accused of, who do you think you are, Paul? There are other apostles. You know, why? Where do you get your authority? And so Paul is in the process of answering that. For we, Paul, dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. The plumb line standard, folks, is not other people. Okay, and that's what we tend to do in the church. I mean, El Presidente is a saint. But if you measure yourself by him, you're in trouble. And Vicky says, amen. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere, my translation, but that's the word canon, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. So Paul's work as the founder of the church at Corinth, which was based on the gospel, and if you remember the 1 Corinthians, the whole purpose of that was showing people that they had a bad theology. They were seeking after other things, worldly distractions, and not the main message. And Paul says, my sphere, because this word also, sometimes some theologians say, this has to do with his district. This is Paul's canon in the Roman Catholic sense, which, not really, it's Paul founded the church on the gospel, and that's my sphere. That's what I do. So it's strictly the gospel, not these guys who compare themselves to one another and boast on that, or that came in after me and are taking credit for what God did through me in Corinth. Now these other preachers, not even false, but other prophets coming in and, you know, building on what Paul did and then taking credit for all of it. We pastors can be really guilty of that, you know, building on someone else and then taking the credit. You know, what about, you know, when you go into a church and church was doing great and the pastor takes over and kills the church off. You're going to take credit for that too? That's Jeff's fault. So verse 14, for we are not extending ourselves beyond our sphere again, thus not reaching you. I came to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure. So Paul's not saying it's not wrong to boast, but boast in what really matters. God's grace, God's glory. It's not me. It's what God did, Paul's saying. That is in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, in our canon, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's canon, his work of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's a good verse for all of us. Any success we have as individuals in the church, ultimately we should appreciate it is God who allows that. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So we want our praise to come from God. And that word canon, Paul is using in a little different sense, or tying it to, it's the gospel, and I'm the founder of the Corinthian church in this case because of the gospel. So it's not me. I'm not boasting in me. It's what God has done. That's the standard. How do you measure up to that? So what? So God has standards. You know, that's, our world doesn't like to hear that. Think of issues today. But God has standards. And that standard, as sinners, we all fall short of that. That canon, that measuring, that plumb line. And we should live by them. But apart from Christ and God's grace, we can't. And that's very important too. And sometimes we forget that and we expect others to live by that. And there's still a standard. We can't shilly-shally or be wishy-washy about the standard. But we need to appreciate or make sure folks know, yeah, God's got a standard. He will hold us accountable. And the only way you can escape that judgment is by the standard of the gospel of Christ. So we should live by those standards. And ultimately, it can only be done because of God's grace. And it's all for God's glory. Does it make sense? So, standard with regard to sin, you know, just about any message I could shoehorn into the sin, grace, Jesus. But sin, we don't meet that standard. Grace, do we understand that foundation, that measuring line? And then do we appreciate that it's all because of Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your standards, for your holiness. We thank you that you are consistent, that you are not a respecter of persons, that there is nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy in your sight. And we thank you that that standard requires the solution that only a crucified Son can provide. Help us to believe that. Help us to live our lives daily with that truth always behind everything we say, do, and think. And we will give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.